A Billboard Evangelism Phone Dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good afternoon. My name is Brenton. I'm with Gospel Billboards. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great.
So I have some questions about some things I've heard.
Sure.
So I've heard a lot that Jesus was Jewish. Is that true?
That was his ancestry, yes.
But he wasn't, like, Jewish, as in, like, spiritually, like, he wasn't Jewish, like, in that sense?
Well, he was. He was a Jew. That's correct.
So why was he Jewish if his religion is supposed to be the right way?
Do you read the Bible?
I don't.
Okay. Well, you bear with me just a minute, because all of the Old Testament is simply a witness unto Jesus Christ. As you read the Old Testament, God dealt with mankind for, I'll say, 4,000 years, give or take. And time to God is not the way we look at time. You have to understand that God is timeless. He's eternal. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. And so even when he created man in a perfect environment, because of God's love, God desired that man would return that love to him. Well, mankind did not. So God tried to direct man's life in the Old Testament into what I will say was a righteous lifestyle. Mankind would not listen or obey. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, then. And then we have the new covenant. We have the New Testament. And so God had to have an ancestry or a material lineage for Jesus Christ to be born into. And he chose Abraham even before Abraham was per se called a Jew. Abraham was one of the original prophets, if you want to say that, but he was a faithful man. He believed in God. He believed that God was the creator, and he was obedient to him. And so that is the lineage that Jesus came through, was through Abraham, through the Jewish people. And consequently, in the Old Testament, God did deal with the Jewish people in a different way than he dealt with everybody else. But today, it's very evident, highly evident from the scriptures, that God calls all men to repent. They will be from every nation, kindred, and tongue, race, creed, language, and Jew, Gentile, Samaritan, heathen, if you want to look at it that way. Because now God's looking at our heart. He truly wants us to realize what sin is, to seek Jesus Christ for that forgiveness, and then to accept it and to have a changed life, to really live a new life, to have a changed heart, to put away sin and hate and murdering and anything that is not conducive to the lifestyle that God wanted for us in the beginning in the garden. And then
Okay, so let's say I live a life that I feel is fulfilling and good, not just for me, but for everybody else. But I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily a Christian or a Catholic. Would I still go to heaven, or is it only people who are of, you know, Christian and Catholic beliefs that go to heaven?
Well, there's a Bible verse that explains that, John 14:6. I mean, there's many others, but that one really sums it up. Jesus Christ himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you want to know God and you want to know what heaven is and have the promise of that reality, you're going to have to know Jesus Christ. It's not, you're not going to get it by doing good works. You have to have faith and belief. And here's the kicker in there, is that, yes, God wants us to do good works. That is part of his purpose for us. He wants us to live right and treat other people right. But if we do not have belief in Jesus, heaven is not a reality for us.
Well, what about the people that are born in, like, you know, cities and governments and countries where they don't even learn about Jesus? Would they still go to heaven even though they were in a, you know, in a place and time where they had no way of knowing Jesus? Or would they go, you know, somewhere that's, you know, hell or purgatory or whatever, of something that was completely not their fault?
You know, that's a very good question. But the answer is within the scripture, because it talks about that God gives us knowledge. Part of that is the inborn sense of morality, of knowing right from wrong. And I'll just make this statement. As a boy, did anyone tell you how to lie?
No.
Well, we don't. I was a boy, and I told some lies, but nobody told me how to lie. That is an inborn sense. That's an inborn sense of morality, right and wrong. Well, so now, with that being a true statement, all cultures in all historical times have had a certain set of laws that they abided by. They may not have been like the ones we have in America, but almost all cultures have stood for the statement, and I'll just say it this way, is it wrong to take the life of an innocent man?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and all cultures will agree with that. Well,
right.
Where did they get that from? Now, I'm going to restate it a little bit different. Is it all right to take the life of a murderer?
Now
you see, we pause because we realize that that murderer is also a sinner. Well, I will tell you that we are all sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It also says that if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we are a liar. So, for those that have never heard, I apologize, I was going to say this sooner, but for those that have never heard, they are going to be responsible for what they know. But part of that is going to come back to this inborn sense of morality that we all have. We know what is right. We know what is wrong.
Right. But earlier I asked if just doing the right thing and not necessarily, you know, following Jesus would still get you to heaven. And you said no. But now you're saying as long as you do the right thing, even if you don't know Jesus, is the right thing. So,
well,
would they go to heaven or not if they were never in an environment where they even knew about him?
I apologize because I failed to make the statement that God is the judge. It is not you and I.
Oh, so there's no way to know.
Well, there is, because Jesus Christ, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right, but I'm talking to people that don't know.
Well, that's right. But I think you have to realize I'm going to ask you a question, and if you answer it honestly, I know what the answer is going to be. Do you personally know of an individual that has never heard of the name of Jesus Christ or has no idea of what religion is, that is totally heathen without any knowledge?
Yeah, sure. There is an island down by Indonesia where people have not heard of the New World.
No,
they have no clue of any modern things, any modern language, any modern religion.
I asked
all of those people there.
Do you know them? Have you ever met them?
Well, does that make a difference?
It most certainly does, because you can't make that statement then.
No, but we know what they know, and we know that they don't have any contact or have not had any contact with, like, newer, you know, modern, like, civilizations for, like, hundreds of years.
Well, my friend, I will tell you that in today's culture, there is not a person that does not have some type of knowledge of what modern man is.
I will tell you that's wrong.
I don't know how long ago, but, you know, I can tell you a true story about a mission man that went to an island in Southeast Asia, and they literally killed that man while he tried to preach to them Jesus Christ.
Right.
And
they didn't speak the same language.
Eventually, some 50 years later, another missionary went to that very same island unknowingly and preached Jesus Christ to them again, and they said, "We already know him. We have a Bible."
That's not true.
Well, it is. I'm telling you. It's a Gideon testimony.
Oh, well, we're talking about the same island in the modern world. It's not true, because they don't speak the languages that we speak, and they don't have Bibles because they don't have our religion. That's what I'm saying. Those people would have no idea, and will.
So apparently you're not a believer.
No, his religion. What was that?
Apparently you're not a believer. Is that correct, or are you?
Well, why would you say that? The point of me calling is for me to learn more. That's why I called you, not for you to, you know, make an accusation
right.
about my beliefs or not.
I'm asking you, do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I don't think that's relevant at the point.
Well, I'm going to assume then, because in all honesty and truth, a believer will proclaim that he knows Jesus. An unbeliever will not, because he has fear of God.
That's not true. That's not true either.
Well, my friend, you told me, first of all, you never read the Bible, and now you're telling me that you know more than I do.
No, you're telling me that if I don't say right now that I am a believer, that I'm not a believer, which I'm telling you is absolutely not true. And second of all, I never said that of course I never read the entire Bible. I, like, 99% of people have not read the Bible.
You told me that you did
not
read the Bible.
Yeah, I have not read the Bible from beginning to end, but I've read snippets. That's what I'm saying. You're wrong, you know? You can be wrong, and that's okay. You don't always have to be right.
So let's go back to, let me ask you a question about creation. Do you believe that God's the creator, or do you believe in evolution?
I'm unsure. I would like to believe something, but I'm honestly too unsure.
So I'll just make a statement which you won't like, but I want you to think about it. If you believe in evolution, you believe in the scientific impossibility that nothing has created everything.
Well, that's not true either. I don't believe in like the Big Bang theory or nothing. There's many
other theories.
There's
only two basic theories for mankind coming into existence. One of them is through an evolutionary process. One of them is through a godly creation.
Right.
There's only two. There's some variations. I'll grant that. But I'm speaking now of an evolutionary process. I never mentioned the Big Bang. You're the one that said that.
Well,
because
there is 100%. Proof of evolution.
No, because you see, science is knowledge, and in order to prove science, you have to observe it, and then you have to duplicate it or replicate it. Now, I'll ask you a
question.
Science
is not knowledge. Science is the process of answering questions. That is a science.
What? I tell you what, you look up the definition.
Okay.
Mankind knows what the human body is made of. There are 60-some known components. 92% of them in weight being oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. The other 8% are trace minerals. Scientists know what our body is made of. But a scientist cannot take those base components that are literally found in the periodic table and reassemble them, even in the proportions they know that they need to be reassembled in, and number one, make something that looks like us, and number two, giving it life. Now, man can take a cell, a living cell from a human, and start there, but they cannot start with the base material. So evolution is not provable.
Well, there's evidence, like real actual evidence.
There's evidence
instead of faith and belief.
Well, let me just give you another little story. Maybe you won't like it. Have you ever walked along the beach, when the waves are coming in at the ocean?
I have.
So if you were walking down along the beach some morning on low tide, and as you were walking along, I don't know what your mother's name is, I'm just going to say it was Mary, all of a sudden, written in the sand along the beach where the water was coming in, was a message that says, I'm just going to say your name is Bob.
Sure.
Bob, I love you, your mother Mary. Would you doubt, and you knew your mother was back at the beach house, I'll just say it that way, but you never saw her write that on that sand. Would you doubt who had written that on that sand?
Would I doubt what?
Would you doubt the message on that sand? In other words, who had wrote it? That was evidence of your mother writing on that sand. Number one, it has your name and it has her name.
Well, that's not evidence. That's
Well, it is. What do you call it?
Well, it could be anything. That doesn't mean evidence of anything.
You see, the whole point is this: the high tide's going to come in and wipe that evidence out. So you see, there's evidence for the complexity of human beings. There are 3 billion DNA links within our body. And scientifically, you can look this up on the internet. I've done it. There are 37 trillion to 100 trillion living cells in our body, and each one of those cells are made up of 4 parts that are very intricate. And the assembly of those cells, when mankind truly attempts to replicate them, it is a very precise process. Everything has to happen exactly in order with no mistake, or that cell cannot live. So now my comment is, our human bodies are extremely complex, and when we look at a modern computer, laptop, desktop, whatever, however you want to look at it, I'll just make this statement. I don't know if you're aware of the old DOS program that was first instituted on computers before Windows, and now we have Windows 11. Well, did the DOS program mutate itself all by itself without the aid of a designer or a creator into Windows 11?
Yeah.
It did. It created itself.
Well, it didn't create itself. It was created by, by us.
It was created by mankind. That's my whole point. God is the creator. He is a mind. He is a entity that creates. And when you look at truly evolution, evolution does not have a creator. There's no mind. It's chaos.
Well, that's not that hasn't been proven that there is or isn't a creator. There can be evidence of either or. But there is no evidence of anything. That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, that is a very good comparison. I will not hold that against you. That is a good comparison. But that does not correlate to real life.
Well, my friend, you and I are alive.
That's true.
And I can guarantee that you're going to die someday. 10 out of 10 people die.
That's 100% true.
What's going to happen then?
I have no clue.
Well, that's why you need to read the Bible. I'm going to encourage you through what I call the Matthew Challenge to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the first 4 books in the New Testament. Literally, they are first-person accounts of the life of Jesus. They're all a little bit different, but they all proclaim his public ministry and his death and his resurrection. And there's a Bible verse I'd like to leave with you, which is Matthew 5:6. And if you think about this, you will realize that you have to investigate God if you want to know him. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, if we do not seek God daily, if we do not have a hunger and thirst for him, we're not going to be filled. We're not going to know him. We have to seek him. That is part of the process, because that's part of science, is seeking and knowing and knowledge. And that's exactly where we get to when we search for the truth. We search for the real truth of life and why we are here. And we are here to honor God and to respect him and to accept his son, Jesus Christ, for the atonement of our sin, that we may have the opportunity of eternal life in heaven when this life is over.
So I have a, do you think that God made us to worship him every day? Do you think that's our purpose, to worship God?
Well, it is stated in the Bible that. I think it goes beyond that. I mean, yes, I will say that is part of our purpose. But you have to understand why. Because if you don't know the why, it doesn't all make sense. May I
ask
what
state? I was actually born and raised as a Catholic. I've done my first communion. I plan on doing my confirmation. And I don't seek out this conversation to be, you know, argumentative or to debunk what you're saying. I honestly call and I look for faith. I lost my faith a long time ago, and I've been searching ever since, but I have never been able to find a reason or to find something reasonable, like reasonable enough for me to believe in God. I wish I could. I really wish I could. I've tried for many years at this point, but I cannot find my place in religion.
You know, having had some Catholic background, I'm speaking to you that way. Sometimes Catholicism, and I'm not condoning Catholicism. Please don't interpret my comment that way. But Catholicism has quite a bit of ritual, and sometimes we see that as being not sincere sometimes, because God truly calls up us to worship him, not to worship Mary or Peter or any other human being, because truly Jesus Christ is the only one that was a perfect individual here upon the earth that never sinned, and he rose from the dead. And so...
Right.
It gets back to that comment I made about seeking him in Matthew 5:6. When you truly come to that avenue of trying to find God and looking for what really is true, you're going to discover that there is something beyond this life. This life does not end when we die. And... you know, that's something God is a judge. I'm not the judge. But that's something that you have to do. In other words, it's a little bit like the attribute of love. You can't force love on me, and I can't force love on you. We have to reciprocate it back and forth. I'm not talking about a lustful thing. I'm talking about a pure love that people have for other people.
Right.
That's truly what God has for his creation. He has a pure form of love. He wants the best for us. And part of the reason he gives us the way to live is because if we truly would live according to his commandments, we can live that kingdom of heaven today on the earth. And I would just say it this way. If mankind would live that kingdom today, we wouldn't need speed limits. We wouldn't need jails. We wouldn't have armies. We wouldn't have wars. We wouldn't have killing. because mankind would be able to interact with mankind on a loving manner, to be gentle and kind, to be peaceful, but that's not the way we operate. We live in a fallen world. We have a sinful nature. And when we realize our sin, then we also realize that we have another nature, which is that godly nature within us, because when God created mankind, he truly created him in his image and in his likeness. And yet he gave us free will choice. And that's where the kick comes, is free will choice allows us to do what we want to do, and God's not going to force his love upon us. We have to accept it. We have to receive it. So again, it comes back to reading the Bible, because really that's where it's all at. And unless you engage that, I'm going to say in a disciplined manner, if you just read it once in a while just to say that you have read it, you're not going to receive the blessing. You're going to have to truly seek it. You're going to have to engage it. You're going to have to search for it. Search for the words and what they mean, and how to truly treat other people.
Right.
Can I pray with you?
What was that?
Could I pray with you?
Sure.
All right. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, I'm thankful for the call from Father. I ask that you would bless his life and give him the encouragement to seek your word and to do it in a disciplined and a daily manner, and to discover really, Father, who you are and why Jesus came to this earth and why he died and why he rose from the grave, proving that he has the power of life over death. Father, you've put us here for a purpose, and when we discover that purpose, we can live your kingdom today in our life, and we can truly live at peace. Even though we live in a world of turmoil, we can have peace in our heart. When life closes for us, we realize that it will. We will not live forever upon this earth. We pray in Jesus' name for a home in heaven. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you so much. Honestly, thank you for your time and your patience. I really do appreciate it.
Nope, I appreciate talking with you.
All right, you have a great rest of your day.
Sure, you too. Blessings.
All right, thank you so much.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and his word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt a Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options in quarterly newsletter or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.